I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, y'all. Welcome back to a Monday, June 20th, 2022 edition here on the Chase Thomas Podcast, where I am still the aforementioned Chase Thomas, coming to you live from Knoxville, Tennessee. On today's show, we got sports reporters who have indeed reassembled the Daily Beast, Robert Silverman, and the Detroit Free Press's Andrew Hammond, coming a couple days later here on the podcast. But, you know, I was just happy to get that podcast back and just the gang back together this weekend. So, missed talking to Andrew and Bob. So, it was great to have them back on the Chase Thomas Podcast on the Blue Wire Pod Network. Go to bluewirepods.com today and check out all of our other great shows all across the Blue Wire Pod Network. We've got Insight with Chris Van Fleet, Spinsters with Haley O'Shaughnessy and Jordan Liggins. We've got The Long Shot with Duncan Robinson, Greenlight, Chris Long, all kinds of great shows all across the Blue Wire Pod Network. Go check those out today. Go subscribe to my newsletter, sportsrenaissanceman.substack.com. That's me, all my written content over there, sportsrenaissanceman.substack.com. Type an email and be a subscriber today. It's that easy, that simple. Do it today. And all that good stuff. Tweet at me, Chase_Thomas. Like the Facebook page at facebook.com/ChaseThomasWriter. And of course, yeah, we're on YouTube. Everything's on YouTube. All kinds of great video content. That show and that channel is doing really well. So I'm really excited to see where that goes over the rest of the summer. So make sure that you like and subscribe and are checking out our YouTube channel, youtube.com/ChaseThomasPodcast, and all that good stuff. So there you go. Email the program, ChaseThomasPodcast@gmail.com. And all of that good stuff. And I will talk to y'all. Why am I saying talk to y'all like I'm wrapping up the pod? No, we're about to get started. Uncle Darren, let's go.
Chase Thomas Podcast. The Chase Thomas Podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
All right, we're back. The sports reporters, we have indeed reassembled on a different day. Yeah, we're taping this early on a Sunday morning with Bob Silverman. He's dancing on camera. Bob, is that you? Bob, you look incredible.
No.
Is that Bob Silverman?
No, that was terrible. That was awful. That was so off. That was such bad acting. What Chase is trying to say in the most ham-handed kind of way is that, yes, I have been on a keto diet and I have dropped a couple of pounds. Not unlike Jason Whitlock, by the way. I don't know if you've all noticed this. Jason's lost some weight.
Okay.
So I noticed between, that he's lost weight, but he's grown his hair. So well, is it kind of like a Play-Doh thing?
That's a fondant ass hair piece that he's got going on there.
Ooh.
Did you notice that everybody from Fox
FS1.
Sports?
FS1, there was this stretch. I think it was 2019.
It was 2018, 2019.
2018, 2019.
Yeah.
Suddenly, every one of the FS1 talking heads got a little more bushy up top.
I've known Nick Wright. Yeah. Nick Wright since he was in Kansas City. That fool had been bald for decades.
He denies it. He claims that is that's all natural up top. I'm just saying we're both sides.
And I'm the Queen of England.
Both sides herds. We noticed Nick Wright getting a little bit more hirsute, but Nick Wright has said that's a full head of hair. Same goes for Jason Whitlock, who doesn't really wear fedoras so much anymore because he's got a full head of hair.
Look, forever.
I don't begrudge any male person who wants to get, you know, a touch up. Let's go.
Oh, agreed. I won't hate on him at all.
No. Look, if I had the means to drop six figures on an actual good hairpiece or hair plugs,
I don't think I trust it enough. I don't think I'll ever do it because you heard that Joe Buck thing where he was addicted to it and then he almost lost his voice forever. Right. And I was like, I don't know.
Wait a minute. Whoa. So he got hair plugs?
He's been doing it for years.
Yeah. But he got addicted to it.
I feel like he got, I think if I'm remembering correctly, there was a complication.
Yes.
Look, it's a surgical procedure.
Yes.
You get a local.
So when you keep doing it over and over again, like there's a chance that like it goes
wrong.
Every
time it's a roll of the dice and just, surgeries have complications all the time if you really want to scare people on the
But he pod. Lost his voice for a while, I seem to recall.
Yeah, like 2011 he did, yeah.
Really yeah, bad. By the way, fans of excessive Googling, do not look up what percentage of deaths that occur in hospitals are due to medical error. It will absolutely terrify.
Yeah, I would never not know.
Yeah, that's one of those things I feel like, you know what, I'm better off not knowing. Yeah.
There is no way to crunch the data and know with exact certainty what percentage, but all of the, because doctors say are not incentivized to let it be known exactly when there was a preventable death.
Right.
But the higher estimates say 30%.
30% what?
I'm good.
30% of what? All surgeries?
No, fact check me on this. 30% of the deaths that occur of people in hospital are due to medical error.
I'm good. That's,
I believe.
Let's talk sports.
We're talking
also here. Andrew Hammond, Detroit Free Press. Okay. He's here.
And in any case, Jason Whitlock, quality hair piece.
Oh, he moved on in.
Allegedly.
You don't get an introduction.
Allegedly. Mm-hmm. And he, I think he's lost like about 40 or 50 pounds. So good on him. Cause that's,
yeah.
I mean, he's still...
10% of that was in his brain.
Truly some wild takes this week. But, you know, look, we want to support people who are getting healthy. So yeah. I'm doing that.
The takes were wild. But like I said in
Andrew
the group chat.
Hammond from the Detroit Free Press, what do you think about the world that we're living in right now?
I love that
How
question.
Long you got?
Yeah. That's a loaded question, Bob.
it's like how long you got? I mean, because let's keep it a buck. You've got an insecure a borderline insecure dynasty in the NBA. You've got
I was blown away by the Warriors just like drubbing the Celtics the last two games. I didn't think they had
Yeah.
Did you see that, Andrew? Did you hear about that?
Yeah.
How did that go?
Not great.
No.
Hey, Chase, how did Tennessee baseball do?
Hey. Wow. Hey.
Oh, the shoe, I believe the shoe is on the other foot, buddy.
Shots are being fired, folks.
But no, honestly, I'm okay with, like, and people, it's weird because the whole sports culture, you think, oh, if you... You shouldn't just be happy to make the title game. You should be mad because you lost. And I'm just over here like, you know what? They've had close calls to get to the finals for the last decade. And the fact that they got there, you're still in that window. You just hope you can capitalize and learn from it. Because, I mean, let's keep it a buck. Jason Tatum sucked
those
finals.
Yeah, he did.
He was absolutely terrible. And... it's the greatest shooter of all time decides to step up and probably put together the two best games of his career in the postseason. How about that?
I think he was worn down, man.
Who, Tatum?
I think was worn down.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, so the first game I thought they played it perfectly. You stay on the front foot because they were just missing shots. And then Golden
he had a better
State
game too, right?
Off.
Like he scored pretty decently in game two, I seem to recall.
Yeah, but I mean, they needed to stay on the front foot the entire series. Once it got back to 2-2, that's when you go, you got to reset. It is 0-0, and I don't think they didn't do that because game five was just.
Well, you can't replace those 12 minutes from Enes Kanter Freedom. Like, that's one of those issues where if you do the math on Enes Kanter Freedom in the rotation, that was the difference.
Which is ironic because it was like, man, has anybody noticed this team got better once he left?
Oof.
Good times. Yeah.
I don't know. It was still an interesting finals. And
it was.
I like that Steph was having fun. I will say, it's interesting right now to see the response to Draymond, and Draymond said he's going to keep podding, and that's just how it's going to be, and people love it. I think his pod's always in, like, the top three and the reaction pods and all that on Apple Podcasts and all the charts and stuff, and I think I like Draymond, but I will say the always online and, like, the beef he has with Ja overnight.
It's
and
weird.
It's not going to stop him. Like, this is not sustainable. I just look at it, I'm like, this is not sustainable for Draymond.
It feels very, and I feel like this is a safe space. And I don't know why, but it feels like this Warriors team, and kind of connects to the fan base a bit, is a bit insecure at times.
Oh, they're just.
And it's like, we know you're great. You don't have to tell us how great you are, but if you don't tell them how great they are, then they get upset. And so you're just kind of like, what more can you do?
I don't know if you want to go straight into the failures and the eccentricities and the neuroses of Warriors fans. Not when we're dealing with.
You mean the fact that the half of them were Lakers fans, and then once the Lakers went to crap, they were like,
No, I was more thinking about Boston fans.
It's funny because even with Boston fans, like, you look at the celebrity Boston fans, I hate when they do celebrity row at Boston games because you're just like, oh, great, there's Robert Kraft, okay, fine. And then Dave Portnoy, and you're just like, oh,
Matt Damon,
God.
And Affleck, and
Wahlberg.
I'm so disappointed in Papa Fieri for hanging out.
I'm just like, I'm
Papa.
I'm
don't meet your heroes, kids.
Papa, you're fine, huh? I want to clarify one thing. According to a controversial study, it says that about 10% of all that medical error is one of the higher ranking causes of death in the United States. It's not 30%, though. That is way too high. That number was wrong. I fake newsed. I apologize. In a controversial study, it says that there were, in the leading year, I think the study from 2018, there were about 250,000 deaths a year due to medical error.
250,000?
Yeah. And of course, it's still controversial, and it would say that it would be 10% of all. It's like the third leading cause of death in the United States.
Ain't no way.
I mean, again, these are disputed. If you talk to anyone in the medical profession, they will. It's not a problem that can be addressed in a way that doesn't cause people in the profession to get defensive and/or really get their hackles up. In any case. Celtics fans, yes, the Celtics fan celebrity role really is a cursed montage, absolutely.
It's just the worst.
I kind of have a weird, I respect Ben Affleck's Celtics fandom and his Red Sox fandom. It's fine. He likes his guys. Just for the memes of him getting Dunkin' Donuts coffee while wearing a Red Sox shirt and
and stress the hell out like a perpetual Boston
one
dad.
One of us.
Yeah, that's the thing. The Celtics and the Red Sox and certainly the Patriots, Celtics, Red Sox, Patriots, and even the Bruins have had a really good run the last couple of decades.
Yeah.
And yet they still run around going, "You think you're better than me?" Anytime there's the slightest bit of adversity that faces one of those.
But see, that like is part of what makes it's interesting. Did you see that list of like the best sports cities and best sports fans and stuff like that? And I see this a lot with Atlanta, where Atlanta fans get very insecure and very pushbacky over when Atlanta is kind of pooped on as a sports town. And as someone from Atlanta, and like, it's still a college football town. It's still like an NFL and NBA town. But NBA as a whole, like if you go to a Hawks game and the Lakers are in town, there's a lot of mixture. If you go to the Knicks are in town, there's a mixture. And it's like, it's one of those things where you can be a super fan and like there's still a lot of fans who are good about it. But it's like, it's still, it's a good sports town for like general sports, but it's not the same. Like, I'm in Knoxville. Like, I will tell you, it is different. Knoxville, I would say, is a better sports town than Atlanta because these people, they really, really eat and breathe and live and die and will, like, have this mentality where, like, we'll throw mustard and golf balls on the field if we don't like your calls. Like, that's, it's definitely more intense. And I'm just like, it's just, it's fine, Atlanta. Like, it's a huge city, a lot of transplants. It's just how it is.
You know who's about to get insufferable over the next few months? Which fandom? Yankees fans.
Do you think so?
Oh, yeah, because they're back.
They're back.
But they haven't won a title since, what, 2010?
You know, it's funny. That didn't stop them in the gap between 2000 and 2009. That didn't stop them because... they officially got annoying when Boston won.
Throughout all the 2010s, when the Yankees had, I still don't think they had a losing record that entire stretch. I don't think they've had a losing record since. Jamie, look this up for me. they may have had one in the 2020 in the COVID year, but I don't think the Yankees have had a losing record in a full season since before.
But didn't they make the ALCS didn't they make the playoffs in 2020?
They made the playoffs. I think they did. I don't think they got a losing season in 2020. They haven't had a losing season.
Was 2020? I think they played the Twins in 2020, didn't they?
Yeah, they played the Twins every year somehow. But they went to the playoffs throughout. They had one year where it looked like they were sort of rebuilding, and they like shipped Chapman out again and in like 2016, 2017.
Yeah, the Cubs, right? They traded Chapman to the Cubs.
Yeah, they traded him to the Cubs and they dealt away a bunch of their guys and they still finished with like a winning record that year somehow. They have been good. The Yankees have been a winning baseball team for 25 years the Yankees fans have nothing to complain about rooting wise, and yet they are constantly feeling aggrieved and put upon that they are not feted.
Cashman is in like the worst spot as a GM, where because it's understood that you have this unfair advantage as being the general manager for the Yankees, but also like we see the Phillies spend, like the Phillies are spending really well.
Let's talk about the Windhorse quote because it makes me mad on the internet.
For folks that are not familiar with his particular quote, what did he say specifically?
I'm going to paraphrase Windy right now. Apologies. Okay. I don't know if this counts as aggregation, so please don't get mad at me. He said basically that other teams are competing. The Warriors' payroll this year, because of the luxury tax they're paying, I think it's somewhere in the neighborhood of $340 million. The Warriors are not in any, it's not like they are bleeding cash here. It's not like they're in the red because of this annual payroll. They just opened a very, very fancy state-of-the-art stadium in San Francisco, arena in San Francisco. They are, I think, they're the third most valuable team in the NBA per Forbes. I think it's Knicks, Lakers, and then the Warriors.
Yeah.
They're doing fine. Their payroll is, they are paying people a fair wage for their job. And yet Windhorse says that while other teams not only have to compete with the Warriors on the court, they have to compete with their financial largesse. And that is the implication, it seemed, was that is somehow an unfair advantage that the Warriors possess over the rest of the league because they can spend $340 million per year in player salaries. I would argue there are a great many other owners who could, in fact, match that payroll by the Warriors. And the fact that they are not, that other teams are not able to compete with that Warriors size payroll, even in the era of the salary cap is. it's just allowing owners to skimp and save and turn a larger profit from it.
And we have a soft cap. Like, the NBA is a soft cap. Like, there's... Yeah. That's the other frustrating thing. It's like, we're saying we're...
The cap doesn't exist. It's not real. It's not real in any sport. It is merely an attempt to artificially... It's a justification used by teams that aren't actually trying to artificially suppress wages. It's just... Well,
it's that, and I also look at what the Warriors have done, and this kind of dovetails into the other, as Bob is adjusting. This kind of dovetails into the other Warriors insecurity that I maybe sometimes sense is they – I feel like Warriors fans, some understand, but most don't understand the fact that you guys are probably the most – And you can say improbable dynasty.
It's not. There were a series of three or four unlikely events that allowed them to start.
And it's like, you guys are kind of sort of the most improbable dynasty, and you guys kept it going, which is great, and nobody's hating on that.
Yeah.
But, like... You
enjoy this, guys. This
is good stuff. And the fact that you guys got back, that's great. You're probably going to be back maybe next year and the year after. But, buddy, when that ride stops.
Well, that's what's interesting, too. When you read, there's a good piece in Sporting News. Stephen Noe, he's been a long time NBA writer. I think it was the Bulls first. But he wrote about the Warriors and like what the next couple of years look like. And there's a stat. I haven't been familiar with it. Do y'all know about Darko? It's a public predictive NBA model that predicts when a player is going to retire.
And yeah, I think I might have heard about it, but not like...
Well, I went through it, and it was interesting. So, and he has in the piece where he highlights estimated retirement age. Mm-hmm. Curry's got 4.9 years left. Retirement at 39.1. Thompson, though, 35.7. He's got 3.5 left.
Green,
36.6, 4.3 years left. But you look at the drop-off in terms of Raptor rate numbers, and like no one sees Thompson coming back. Draymond's going to have a significant drop-off. And Curry going from 10.2 Raptor in 2023 to 7.2. Like, it's kind of reminds me of the Spurs thing where you assume that you're just
The Spurs had it all. They did have themselves. If they were, look, their Popovich's entire plan was okay, Kawhi's going to take over for Tim Duncan.
And he had, he went from Robinson to Duncan to Kawhi. And that's Kawhi. Extremely
and
difficult.
That was the plan, and then Kawhi said, "Actually, no, I want to play in my hometown," and so that.
But Golden State doesn't have the next Steph ready, so it's like one of those things. Where you're like, "Yeah, Kuminga's cool. Moses
has
is cool.
The next Steph ready." Like you're talking about a top 10.
Well, no, hold on. They could have if they had if they take Lonzo Ball or Melo Ball, excuse me. But you have Wiseman, who
that
number two pick. Yeah, you can't whiff there if you want to keep this thing going. Like, that cannot be a whiff.
It's
so
true. That team would be really fascinating with LaMelo Ball there. I mean, I kind of feel like, just as a basketball fan, I don't think LaMelo would have as many opportunities to freelance and channel his inner Pete Maravich.
Could you imagine him finding Steph in all kinds of amazing, like him and...
They would take Steph off the ball most of the time and just have him be...
It would extend his career, though.
They whiffed on that number two pick, which is weird because by then I think people had realized that the value of centers was traditional big is already starting to really, really... Like, it's a weird draft this year because all of the supposed top players are fours and fives in various stripes. Mm-hmm. And it's – I don't know. Do we want to get into the Chet Holmgren discourse at this point in the pod?
Sure. Screw it. I'm ready.
Do you have a Chet Holmgren take, Bob? Have you been in the archives? Have you been hitting the YouTube? Are you ready to go? You watching some Zags tape?
I've been on NBADraft.net. I've been watching the YouTube comps. I've been crunching the – I've been eating tape, man. I've been eating tape and crunching the numbers.
Find someone who loves the draft as much as Bob loves the draft.
I am not impressed with Chet Holmgren. I don't see it. I understand theoretically why he is a valuable NBA player. He can stretch the floor. He can protect the rim. And if you need to go on a long road trip, you can probably fit him in the trunk of a car if you fold him upright.
Yeah. Thank you, Bob. Thank you.
But I mean, even leaving aside the fact that he doesn't have, like, not only does he not have the strength now, but his physical, his body, like that extreme ectomorphic body type, I don't see how he can put on the kind of strength needed to withstand the rigors of day-to-day NBA play. Not like he's got a guard, you know, Shaq in the post or anything like that on a regular basis. Like, that type can survive now. It's not like he's going to turn into Sean Bradley because he's too skinny, but I just don't, I don't. I have watched the only tape that I've watched where I go, oh, okay, I see what people are talking about now, is I think it was the under 18s, the tournament where he competed against my new son, Victor Wembanyama.
Is this the French band?
That's the French band.
Number one pick next year.
That's the 7'3 Frenchman with a 7'9 wingspan who can handle the ball. He's like Kareem if he had range, is how you can describe it.
There you go. You love this guy.
I am telling you, here's the scenario that I keep thinking about is, well,
the next tanking for this man.
Well, tanking or not, what is Oklahoma City going to do with all these draft picks that they can't ever actually use, and probably not? They can't be packaged to trade for a superstar because that superstar is still going to have to want to play there.
Well, it's also you got to get the money to match up.
Right. What you can do, though, is say if you land third or fourth next year, you can go to the team that is first and say, "Here's 15 draft picks."
Yeah.
Not literally 15, but here are all the picks. We want Victor. You get just picks that we will give you the maximum amount of picks that we have between for now and the next 7 years to qualify under the Stepien rule. Give us Victor, you get all of them. And we'll throw in, we'll maybe even throw in like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Like, they can make that Godfather offer to whomever is picking first next year. And I'm telling you, like of the last decade of, you know, consensus first overall picks, the only one I think you would say, like, yeah, this guy definitely is better than Victor is Anthony Davis.
Yep.
Maybe. You could maybe say Davis is better.
Because when I first heard about him last year, I thought he was draft eligible this year. I was like, oh, he's going to be number one pick this year. But then my friend was like, no, he's not eligible this year.
He only turns 19 next year,
But let's keep it a buck. He'd probably go one this year.
He would go one this year without a doubt. He would go one this year with no question.
I haven't seen anything from Chet that's like,
but
yeah.
Chet, when he went against Wembanyama in this international tournament, he put it to him. He did. He played well against him. And if you want to say he outplayed him, sure, that's fine. I forget which international, like,
you're saying Chet outplayed Victor in this one.
Yes, he did. He did. He did have a year or two on him, granted. But because Chet is already 20.
Yeah.
I think he was 2 years older. I think it was an under-19 thing that they invited Wembanyama to. But he did outplay him. So he does have that. It's just there were so many games where I saw, you know, replacement level college bigs just physically.
But that was kind of the Gonzaga, like him playing next to Drew Timmy, kind of clouded some of that. I don't know. I think he's still, I mean, he's not in my top three. I don't know if y'all would, Andrew, I think we'll understand this more, and Bob is like more of a college guy, but like, I mean, my number one, if I had to pick who's most likely to win.
Let's just be clear. I am a draft guy.
Yes.
I'm not a college sports guy. I'm a draft guy.
Exactly.
I'm a big draft guy. I think we've established that. I'm even taking a little gander at Major League Baseball mock drafts when I need a fix. Because Andrew Jones's kid should go number one.
Drew Jones out of Wesleyan.
Yeah.
Drew Jones coming up there. Marquise Grissom Jr. going to be in there soon. You got so Sheffield. I know. There's a lot. There's a picture, Andrew, of like some Red Sox.
I sent that.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, yeah. Oh, my God. But no, I think if I would,
We're talking Chet Holmgren here. Let's go.
Well, no, I think it's interesting because I think Jaden's the most likely. I would be the most surprised if Jaden is not the best player in this draft. Jaden Ivey out of Purdue. Like, he is an absolute.
If he develops a jumper, look the hell out.
If he develops a jumper, I think he's the player he reminds me most of. It's not Morant because he doesn't have the.
He reminds me of Donovan Mitchell.
He reminds me of pre-injury Victor Oladipo.
Okay.
Yeah.
But those guys, I'm always going to err on the side of guards. Like, this league, you still, like, err on the guys who will score.
I think Banchero is going to be...
I like Banchero a lot.
He's going to be a good scoring forward. I think the Tobias Harris comp makes a lot of sense for him. He's going to be, like, a good... Like, I don't think it's... And I think, you know, Jabari Smith being a better defending Rashard Lewis's upside is that those are good players.
Yes.
But if you're talking about the player who could be an absolute star, then I think it's Ivy. And I just don't see it with Banchero. I'm sorry, with Holmgren. I just don't see it.
Well, I also would throw out Johnny Davis. Or I would not be surprised, man. That dude, he's
gotta
get my favorite college player to watch.
Stay away from Sacramento. And I
don't think he'll go that early. I think he might be around later for like a Cleveland's the spot for him. If he could wait for the Cleveland spot, oh my God, that's perfect for him. Garland, I would love to see that. But
the players I really dig once you get out of the top four picks in this draft are Benedict Mathurin.
Yes,
I like him as a Jordan Crawford, Jamal Crawford. You know, microwave guard, and I think he could be a better defender than either of them, and he's got a name that is so Harry Potter that I have to give us some extra points for that. I like Benedict Mathurin. I like Jeremy Sochan out of Baylor.
Like him a lot.
Mm. I like him a lot as a do everything type guard, and he's not going to be there for the Knicks, so but Dyson Daniels as a 6'7", 6'8", even maybe. Point guard, who may be able to be a full time point guard at 6'7", 6'8". That's all.
NBADraft.net has Johnny Davis to the Knicks at 11.
Don't pay attention to that. We've discussed this. NBADraft.net is the Charlie jumping out of the back of the van and screaming wild card at the mock draft.
Well, you're more of a Walter football guy. Bob Silverman loves Walter football.
I'm not a Walter Chirpinski guy when it comes to
separate the art from the artist, Bob.
Yeah, that's true. The best, if you are looking for draft tent, the undisputed leader at rankings and mocks and all of that. That's Sam Bassetti down in Australia now. And also you get some Aussie Rules football content late at night if you stay there.
There you go.
Sam is the best. I think his big board, big book of the draft is what's the football guy who does that? I forget his name already. The guy who does the mock.
For who?
For the
Dan Brugler?
Yeah. Sam Pacini's version of what Brugler does is coming out, and he tweeted about it. It's going to be coming out very soon. It's 95,000 words on this year's draft.
Perfect.
Dude wrote a book. Dude wrote a whole book this year about the draft. 95,000 words covering every pick. Sam is incredibly thorough, does the homework, eats the tape, crunches the numbers, talks to scouts, has sources within executives. Sam is the best. I hereby endorse Sam Bassetti. This is not a paid sponsorship, but I endorse Sam Bassetti of The Athletic for all your NBA draft needs. Sam is great. I think Ricky O'Donnell at SB Nation also does a really good job writing about this. Jonathan Wasserman's mocks are always pretty solid, too. Those are my mock guys when I'm looking for the info. For me, the guy I'm hoping one of Mathurin or Sochan or Daniels falls to the Knicks. I have a feeling the only one who will is Sochan, but I like AJ Griffin. Speaking of sons of former NBA players, sons of former athletes.
He was not. I don't know. I don't see it with AJ Griffin.
If we're remembering AJ Griffin, remembering Adrian Griffin.
Hey, Wichita Wichita native Adrian Griffin. Shout out to the
Is he the next AD at Wichita, Andrew? Or is it you?
He's up for head coaching
game. No, he won't take the AD. They got the Murray State AD.
Oh, so they did hire somebody.
They didn't hire me, which I was very unfortunate and sad about.
What's the knock on Adrian? I hear the rumors, which mean I saw tweets and read blogs, is that he's falling in a lot of mocks and now he's definitely out of the top 10. Maybe red flags about his medicals. What's the deal, guys? Give me some insight.
I don't trust people who are very flighty with their mock drafts.
Okay.
Like, that's the problem, because it's like, if here's the thing, and I'm pretty sure I've said this about the NFL. There's maybe two or three mock drafts you should pay attention to. Everybody else is riffing off of them.
Yes.
Or they're doing something because they have a client or two or whatever. But my biggest thing is, I feel like somebody heard something, and then other people are going off of that information, but we don't really know. And maybe it's posturing because people got clients and stuff. I do know that during the season, when he was at Duke, but this is just a team-wide problem, that offense would just... they would just go to crap and not trust each other, and guys were forcing up shots, but that's
we've discussed this, that when evaluating Duke players, you have to remember that Coach K is a fraud. And so you can always... That's the Jason Tatum law, that actually Coach K is a fraud, and you can maybe discount a few of the things that happened actually on the court while at Duke. Griffin's got my reason for saying, yeah, if you're in the late lottery, you should take a flyer on Griffin, is he clearly already has an NBA body at 18.
This is just the Marvin Williams, Cam Reddish all over again with AJ Griffin. That's how I see it. Like, I'm just nervous about those Power 5 guys who
injured all year, or Justice Winslow. I was really high on Justice Winslow.
See, everyone, it's just one of those things where I would be terrified.
Justice did the same thing Adrian kind of did, where it was late in the regular season,
Adrian
into
or
the
AJ?
Postseason.
Went off. In March Madness, he was the alpha and the omega of that Duke offense, and he looked like, oh, okay, he's not just a Jay Crowder type; he could actually be a very valuable undersized
player. But he's such a tweener, though. That's the thing that I guess
Griffin is, he has the body and he has the jump shot, and if he was hurt, he was still recovering from the injuries last year, so the explosiveness wasn't there. You can say, okay, if his medical check, I mean, that's what I'm assuming. The reason why everyone's like, oh, Adrian Griffin's dropping now, is that when, you know, doctors checked him out, they saw some things that were no bueno. And so, look, I think if you're picking somewhere in like the 11 to 15 range, I'd rather have him than taking like Mark Williams or even Jalen Duran.
Take Jalen Duran. I would say Jalen Duran.
I really wish Mark Williams would have stayed another year. Because or was he a senior? I feel like he was a junior. Or he might have had a COVID year.
Was he a redshirt sophomore? I didn't think he was even that. Hold on. What is Mark Williams? Mark's 20, so he had to be a...
He could have taken advantage of... But the thing about these one-and-done places, I mean, yeah, you can stay, and you're probably going to start, but... Why not just go to the league, make a few million, and see what you can do there?
I mean, Jalen Duran, I feel like, would have more ups. Like, if Duran, like, if a late lottery guy, like, he's more of a flyer, where he just didn't play at Memphis, and there was, like, all the off-court stuff as the reason why there. But, like, it's what his physical, like, the way he plays, his upside is high.
Well, I think his upside is a quality, if slightly undersized, rim running big. That's a good piece to get. If he maxes out, I don't think he's Bam Adebayo.
I wouldn't say that it's impossible for him to be somebody like that, though.
Does he? I just can't. He just doesn't have the shot creation and passing ability.
His defense, Bam didn't either. Yeah, you watch his Kentucky stuff, and
okay,
just Bam's
yeah, that's,
developed.
That's what people are banking on. Is that yeah. Okay? Well, Bam looked like.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If Jalen goes to the right team, that like a Miami Heat type, I think you can do something with Durant. Like, I would not be surprised him in the right scheme, right system, right coaching staff, him being a really good player. Would not surprise me if he's a really good player somewhere.
That's really fair.
Yeah,
I mean. I am desperately hoping that the Knicks figure out a way to trade up for Ivy, though. I don't think it's going to happen. I mean, Ivy saying, "Do not draft me, Kings, or else." Mm-hmm. I kind of feel like the Kings are just going to move. They're going to Kangs it, and they're going to move that.
They're going to take Sharp. I'm not going to. Well, they're just going to take the wild card on Sharp and just say what. Let's see what happens here.
I would love to know what.
Yeah, everything that we just said about Adrian Griffin, you can take that and copy and paste it in for Shaedon Sharpe, except for the fact that we didn't even get to see him play at all while at Kentucky.
I feel like Shaedon Sharpe is, like, I feel like he could be a good fit anywhere if he just don't, and maybe this is just, maybe this is me being too Pollyanna about this. If you just don't put too much pressure on him and you just let him find a way. You don't make him a focal point. Let him find his way. I think things will be great. But if
can
he
you
goes
do
to
that
a,
when you're the fourth pick, though?
Well, and that's the thing. Depending on the team, I don't know. Because
I
Sacramento.
I think Sacramento. Look at what's happened to Patrick Williams. Like, he went higher than people had expected, but the same reasons why everyone said, okay, he didn't really produce at Florida State, but there was so much physical ability and so much tantalizing, ridiculous upside potential that will take him.
Take Leonard Hamilton, guys. Florida State's doing really well. Leonard Hamilton's done a really, really good job of putting FSU kids. They've been really, really good. Scotty Barnes, obviously great. Jonathan Isaac, one of the best defensive players in basketball when he's playing.
When he's not standing.
Jonathan Isaac slowly transitioning to his career as a TPUSA spokesperson.
Right. I do think Shaedon Sharpe, because I know I've seen some projections to Detroit.
Yeah,
I think he could do very well in Detroit because
just traded Grant and some stuff to Sacramento for that pick and some other stuff.
Why? No. Oh, God, no.
I think Sacramento would want something like that.
I don't know if you can't play Jeremy Grant and DeMontis.
Well, it's not even that.
Grant's not a bad shooter.
I don't think that's a trade that Detroit would want. Because what does Sacramento have to offer? Like, they'll want something. They'll want some players.
I mean, if you offered the fourth pick for Jeremy Grant, I think you kind of have to take that.
Yeah.
I think if Portland offers the seventh pick, I think you got to really seriously consider that.
I would consider Portland because of what I could get in return. I don't know what I could get in return with Sacramento aside from the fourth pick.
I mean, probably Harrison Barnes or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Let me see.
I think you'd have to. Detroit's under the cap, so I think you could just absorb Barnes' contract. Why would you want?
Yeah.
I don't know if you. I mean, yeah, Harrison Barnes is a. What is a rotation forward on a playoff team? But
Rashawn Holmes, 4 years, $10 million, it's good value.
I think Rashawn Holmes is one of the most Rashawn Holmes is going to get traded, and he's going to go back to being Rashawn Holmes. He is that is a valuable player. He just got.
God, no one's making money on Detroit. Like, if you move Jeremy Grant, like, the highest paid Piston is Kelly Olynyk, 3 years, $12 million left. What in the world? Why did Kelly Olynyk get like a 4-year deal?
He played well with the Celtics in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But why you don't give 4-year deals to Kelly Olynyk?
4 years, well, $40 million for Kelly Olynyk is actually
fine. Yeah, that's pretty cheap.
I don't know. Yeah. I'm doing 1-year deals with all those guys. If I'm a GM, it's like anyone rotate, like 1-year deal. Move on. 1-year deal.
For Detroit, look, there is a non-zero chance that Sacramento does something weird or trades a pick and does something, and that team does something weird that they luck into Jaden Ivey, which would just be the perfect situation.
Ivey and Fox, I don't know.
No, for the Pistons, Ivey.
Yeah, you know, yeah. See, I've wanted
Ivey on the
that.
Pistons. Him
I've
and Kate would be fun
since January.
I think Ivey said in a recent interview that because his mom played
Yeah, in Detroit with the Shock. Yeah,
with the Shock. That's what
she played with the Shock and the Fever, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. He's mentioned that he would like to go to the WNBA cities where his mom played.
Yeah, I mean, I could see it. I could see
him and Ivy and, you know, Stewart and whatever they can get for Grant or even holding on to Grant would be a nice.
It's a young nucleus. You have a young nucleus.
And Bay is a nice player. I like Sadiq Bay.
If they can get Killian Hayes going, that would be. But once again, you're banking on.
I don't know if Midwest Milikina is going to pan out. Sorry.
I was going to say, Killian Hayes is playing for 9 teams. Like, that's not, he's not, he'll be around in this league for a long time. But
yeah, no, absolutely. I'm just saying in terms of if you want to, because let's keep it a buck.
Mm-hmm.
That Pistons team, they're closer to the play-in than they are the lottery.
Yeah, they're going to be a good team.
Out? Who in the East in the next couple years is sliding down significantly?
I'm not saying that they're a playoff lock, but they should be good enough to at least fight for a play-in. Yeah, challenge for a play-in.
Dwayne Casey is a good coach for a developing team. I like Dwayne Casey. They've got a lot of nice pieces, I think.
They got to add one in free agency. They got to add a big
Cunningham,
one in free agency.
Cunningham is you know, people were doing a lot of hand-wringing about the start to his year, but it took him time.
No, Cade's a great player.
He found his.
Plus, he was hurt.
He got into his rhythm, and he was hurt. He got into it. By the end of the year, you saw exactly why people were called him the consensus number one. Cade is great. I like Isaiah Stewart. I like Sadiq Bey. They get Ivy, then you really have something. I agree with Chase. I think overpaying to make sure they get Ivy would be a worthwhile use of assets for Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can see it.
Look,
that's a fun backcourt to build around for the foreseeable future.
Build a trade around. Look, make a three-way trade with Portland, Detroit, and Sacramento. Detroit ends up with the number 3 pick. And let's say Jason Hart, and then
Josh Hart,
and you give Sacramento moves back one slot, and Portland ends up. No, how does this work? I'm doing a mock trade. I'm doing a mock trade in my head, and it's taking some time.
Trade machine.
Basically, yeah. I go to. By the way, Trade NBA is my trade machine of choice. If you really want to get into that. If you want to check out some of my trades, I'm on Trade NBA as not Scott Layden, and you can see some of my past examples there. I saved them. The commenters roast me in the comments. It's fine. I'm not mad.
Having fun, actually.
You have a three-way trade where Jeremy Grant gets moved to Portland. Like, Sacramento moves down a bunch of slots, and you get Jaden Ivey to Detroit. I don't know how this works. I'm just winging. But I think I would say in this draft, if you can lock up Ivey, you should do it. Someone's going to move up and get him. I don't think he's ending up in Sacramento when all's said and done. Detroit seems like a good idea because they wouldn't have to give too much to move up one pick. They got future picks stashed, don't they?
Got some, not at the rate of other teams, but I believe they do have a few future. They would probably be like late lottery.
All right. Yeah.
Middle round picks.
What was the cost for Atlanta when they traded away Doncic? What did they got? They got one future first to move down three slots.
Not even a future first, really. That was just the Reddish pick.
Right.
So the same draft.
They got a mid-lotto pick. I thought they got two.
Maybe they have two. That might be
I thought it was two picks.
It might be two. I don't think so, but I could. Let me see.
Jamie? Where's our Jamie?
God, that's going to be great when we actually do, like, really get to that point where I have to text somebody and be like, hey, Bob and Andrew are going live in 5 minutes. We need you.
Give me the details of the Doncic trade.
Yeah.
I'm using my phone.
Gotta love podcasting as a visual medium.
No, see, I was right. Yeah, they only got the two.
Oh, so it was just one for one?
Yeah, it was a one for one plus the other
one. It was the following year, though. That was a future pick next year. Reddish.
No, it was the same pick. They got, yeah, the trade details were the Hawks got Trey. They got Trey and a 2019 first. And then, yeah, it was the future first, is what I'm saying. So it was that the Cam Reddish pick, but they just had the one extra pick.
They got Hunter and Reddish the same year. Right, but
they traded up for Hunter.
It was the next year's first from Dallas, but they didn't know where Dallas was going to end up. So it was just Dallas next, like, following it. So, like, that's what I'm saying.
And it was an okay pick.
Right. To move up from 5 to 3 cost you the following year's first. Mm. That feels to me like the GOAT. Like, you could do the same thing to move up one slot this year.
You know what's cool? The Jazz are bringing purple back, and it's staying purple. That stuff is fantastic, and that's what I've said. It's just like when you have a winning... Uh-oh, both guys are not in on this. It's so good. It looks great. I'm glad they're doing this.
Hey, Chase, what about the other jerseys, Chase?
I'm not done. That's what I was going to get to. And then they advertise purple is back and all that kind of stuff. And
did you read Angie Larson's article, the guy from the Salt Lake City, the Jazz beat writer from the Salt Lake City Tribune? Did you read his blog?
I did not read his blog.
He's got uniform sauces. He's got sauces on what happened.
What happened?
Basically, what happened is
they wanted money.
A year ago, they leaked the Jazz wanted to go to black and white.
Yes.
Just black and white. Yeah. And the league.
We should also mention this was coincidentally around like when Dwayne Wade came into this, and he's like, what if we made this the Heat? What if we made them the Heat? What if we gradually transitioned?
They wanted to just go to black and white.
Yeah.
And they went to the league and Nike, and the league and Nike said, no, you can't.
Yeah.
You're not allowed. The Nets are already black and white. The Spurs are black, white, and silver. We cannot have a third black and white team. Mm-hmm. No. And they said, okay, well, what if we add a third color? They're like, fine, add a third color. And they're like, we're going to go with highlighter yellow. And the NBA said, okay. And they rolled out these leftover CYO League pennies of a jersey a year ago.
Yeah.
And they got leaked a year ago. And the reaction was so universally negative that the entire Jazz marketing squad swung into action and said, okay, we got these new uniforms coming. It's purple. We're going back to purple. We'll always be purple. Oh, by the way, here's a new uniform. Like, the entire marketing, like, the video that they put out was just...
The purple is all first. Yes.
And they put it... Look at the purple. Oh, here are new uniforms next year. Purple.
I hate them so much.
The main uniforms for the Jazz.
It's confusing because you can't tell if the purple is the main one, but I guess it's not, right? They're going to wear the...
not.
Yeah. They went from... But here's the thing that I'm just kind of like, okay, what are you doing with your life?
The NFL has... The NFL bylaws state you cannot change your uniform twice within a 5-year span. You have to wait 5 years in the office. I don't know if the NBA has a similar...
I've got to think so. Because don't you have to eat a lot of the funds that you... Even if you decide to...
These rebranding things are not cheap. They are so...
No, but you've got to eat some of that money from Nike.
You could hold many bat mitzvah receptions for the cost of rebranding this uniform.
But look at what the Jazz did... Like the beginning of the decade, where of the 2010s, where it was still kind of the baby blue,
the baby blue and navy uniforms that they had during the Deron Williams era were
decent, kind of, but it was kind of
They were toning it down from the... From all of those mid-90s uniforms when every team had a cartoon animal splashed.
Or it had black in it, and you didn't have black in your color scheme. But the one thing that pisses me off about it is that you go from that to, okay, you go to the old school. You go to a modern version of the old school stuff.
But it's navy and forest green and gold for some reason.
And then, because you don't want to pull purple, you go navy blue. You go like... Yeah. Borderline navy blue purple, and then you decide, oh hey, we're gonna be cool and different and unique, and then you go to the old school Taco Bell. You know,
those are great. They
did the job. They stood out. They were unique. What in the blue hell is this? It looks like a crappy AAU team.
If their main uniforms were at home, they wore the lighter Tequila Sunrise uniforms, and then on the road, they wore the dark mode Tequila Sunrise uniforms that are more black, and then as an alternate, they had any one of the classic purple jerseys, the Mountain jersey or the original Jazz jersey.
It would stand out.
Everyone would love them. Everyone loved those. Whatever, I think, what was the brand name? They were like the Desert Sands or the Red Rock West.
But it just didn't even make any sense. Those were really good, but it was just like, what is their identity? They have no brand identity.
That was their identity. If it was the Red Rock West.
It was the Taco Bell packets. Like, literally, sections of the arena are looking like enormous Taco Bell packets, and it was kind of weird at first, but they're like, oh.
They were cool.
You're the late game on TNT or ESPN. You're like, okay, it's a decent visual thing in the night.
I came very close to buying a Ricky Rubio Red Rock West jersey because I thought they were
Over under, how long are the Jazz wearing these black and green?
I think until they can convince the Nike
5 years. It's going to be
the merch sales to the league and the merch sales. Like, what they'll do is they'll just keep using the purple ones, which are their alternates, more and more frequently until it's just okay to sort of forget.
Or people will buy it ironically or unironically.
I don't even think we're going on a whole like this is not like the fucking Wired, like the Warped Tour. You're going to see people like wearing these.
No, you won't.
You're not going to see people wearing ironic black and yellow.
I don't think you will, but I could totally see people buying it unironically just to be like, oh, these are so ugly, but I'm totally going to get them. And you're just like,
there might be some Coachella black and highlighter yellow.
Coachella, I don't think we're seeing those. Everyone's still wearing their Vince Carter Raptors jerseys.
I'm upset. I've got three different vintage Iverson tanks that running everything like that. Pool tanks. It can't be beat. Like, you can't beat the black Iverson Sixers jersey. You can't do it.
In any case, yes. Andy Larson writes for the Salt Lake City Tribune.
Yeah, but on the pod.
His story, he covers the uniform shenanigans quite well. It's bad. Everyone's laughing at them. They're not even... My theory of uniforms is that for a uniform to be considered good, it has to, at least for one stretch, be considered tasteless and awful while they're being worn. Mm. Like the Astros uniforms, like the Raptors uniforms, like, say, the Atlanta Hawks jersey with
the Big Bird
on the front. Right. But there was a stretch where everyone said, what the hell is that?
The Big Bird was great.
The Big Bird was perfect for the 90s. Like, that's like the perfect 90s, early 2000s uniform.
Yeah.
Skyhawk, though. That's who we really need to bring back. One accident does not mean he cannot come back.
What?
Skyhawk. Have you watched the video of Skyhawk?
No.
Oh, no. I need you to see this. I've seen Skyhawk in person multiple times.
Give me pictures of Spider-Man and Skyhawk. Thank you.
Like, I don't know if this is why Skyhawk disappeared, but Skyhawk was not seen ever since. And I hope he's okay, but I don't
We've discussed this, but like, even bad uniforms aside, the Jazz are in a bad... I'm really curious about who they hire as their next head coach. I have a feeling... My guess is that it's going to be Johnny Bryant, who's the Knicks assistant and is really close to, reportedly, for very friendly with Donovan Mitchell. And so if Donovan Mitchell wants him, that's who...
I don't think it's going to be like that. I think it's going to be whoever Danny Ainge wants. I think Ainge is pulling the strings right now. I don't think it's Mitchell. Yeah. I think Ainge is fine trading them both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say this, though, in terms of coaches, because Kenny Atkinson... decided.
Just gave the Heisman to the Charlotte Hornets.
I have a theory.
Wow.
I have a theory.
Break it down.
I think Steve Kerr is done after next year.
I think that's part of the... There's definitely a transition plan with Kenny Atkinson.
Because...
Like him going back on Charlotte.
Yeah.
It's because I truly feel like... Because Steve Kerr's been around this.
Yeah,
he's been around this a long time. And he understands...
Adrian Griffin, dad of AJ Griffin, candidate for the Jazz head coaching.
He understands what the grind is like. He saw what happened with Phil. He's seen what happened with Pop.
Remember what happened during during the Durant era when his back got so bad that Luke Walton had to step in for half the season?
I feel like he understands I hate saying it like this, but it's like, I'm not long for this job, and that's okay, because if I leave it in good hands, then we'll be fine. And I feel like he told Kenny, you know what? Stick around for another year or two, because I guarantee you what you've got here is more stable, is like we know the cooks in the kitchen. You go to Charlotte.
I mean, have you been reading some headlines about Charlotte as of late with a certain Miles Bridges and a Montrezl Harrell?
Yeah,
it's not the best.
Great.
It's not great. Not great.
Like I tweeted yesterday, like the Charlotte search is just going to be so out of hand.
I don't think
Larry Brown's going
to go back to D'Antoni.
D'Antoni and LaMelo Ball is just fun.
D'Antoni
just do that.
Midnight and being like, yeah. You up? They're sending like Mike D'Antoni. You up, DM.
Well, I mean, this is it. Like, I don't think Dan Tony's getting another head coaching job. So it's like, if you want it, this is it, man. This is your last one.
He's such a lifer. He'll probably say yes anyway. Even if he's their second. Even if the bride left and he's the bride.
I mean, I would still probably say yes. Like, you only get so many of these jobs. There's not that many available, man.
Dan Tony coaching LaMelo Ball would be fun.
Exactly.
That would be fun for me. So why not?
I'm excited
for Sam Cassell to be a head coach in the NBA. That's going to happen real soon, too.
Yes. Agreed.
Yeah.
You know who I was surprised who didn't get, and maybe it's, and I don't know if we've mentioned this before, I was surprised that Quinn Snyder.
Hold on. I have some breaking news.
Oh,
buddy, friend of the pod, FanGraphs John Taylor, sent me the Atlanta Braves lineup card. And it's
that's pretty cool.
Well, have you seen the names?
Yes.
Oh, Unst is in this one.
Okay. Batting in the two hole, Cooter's son.
Wait,
Dansby Swanson's dad,
name,
I think.
Wait.
I think Dansby's dad's name's Cooter.
Okay.
Cooter Swanson. That is the most Georgia name ever.
I didn't know this.
That is Georgia man.
Name, man.
That is Georgia man right there.
That's a lot.
They got to switch it up. The Braves are finally their vile, hellish 14-game winning streak got spent. They got to switch it up.
Well, hold on. We're still coming. Like, the Braves are winning the NL East. People forget. Let's wrap with this. Bob, your pick of the week is the Reddit thread? Is it... what is it, Bob?
The Reddit thread. As if that'll narrow it down.
People are saying. Yeah, people know.
What am I saying? I'm sure I've mentioned these books before, but I would like to book, and I've mentioned certainly to Andrew, but my two favorite shows on TV right now are Barry and The Boys. Those are the two best. The Boys is really, at this point, it is entering into Starship Troopers level satirization of our current political moment. It is it is doing that while also being a really outstanding, gory, grand guignol superhero spectacle. Let's just say in season 3 of episode 1, there is a set piece that involves their Ant-Man stand-in.
A set piece?
Yes.
We're doing a little bit of free kick action going far side post?
Let me just say that there is, in fact, a scene involving their Ant-Man character, the Termite, and a giant penis.
Oh.
Let's just say it involves what if Ant-Man were tweaking and got involved in some questionable sex acts, and they had to make a ginormous prop that is a giant penis. And let's just say one of the showrunners in an interview with Rolling Stone was very, very, really wanted to hold on to this set, but they were like, we're not building you a huge storage facility for the oversized male genitalia. And he went to his wife and be like, can we keep it in our backyard? And she's like, no. And so they had to get rid of it. But there is that. And I'm just telling you, It crosses the political spectrum. There is a superpowered evil Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. They're all. As per the Reddit threads that Chase brought up, because of the pointed political satire that we're getting this year, some longtime fans of the show who just enjoyed the bloody the mess art. Of it and the things go boom part of the show and the toof, toof, toof are getting a little disturbed by how explicit the political messaging is, even with, again, the evil AOC character. And some of the fans in the boys subreddit are really just not having it.
Oh, so was it kind of like how... Is it kind of like how I view... Because I finally saw Don't Look Up, okay. which I thought was fantastic, but I could, like... There were parts of that movie where I was just like, okay, this is hitting a little too close to home, and... Yeah. I'm just like, oh, we're doing that, but the boys are kind of.
Spoiler alert! So everyone earmuffs who doesn't want to know from one tiny subplot about the boys. There is a character who is a superpowered character who is assigned to patrol Trenton, New Jersey. Trenton, New Jersey. He's assigned there, and let's just say that this character is engaged in some aggressive policing tactics in the city of Trenton. And when he gets called out, he goes on a diatribe about being canceled. I hope I haven't given away too many. It's not the character Blue Hawk, who is assigned to policing Trenton, is not a major character in the show. I feel like I'm not giving away too many spoilers,
but it's funny and pointed enough.
Funny and pointed enough, and really spot on. And it's a delightful show. And I've hammed it before, but we're all big Carl Urban fans in this part of the pod sphere. So
Anthony Starr,
Anthony Starr is. That is the best portrayal of a superhero that has ever been done, bar none.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Starr plays Homelander.
Real Banshee fans are not surprised. Real Banshee fans are in.
The character's name is Homelander. If you're not catching what they're putting down,
what his gimmick is.
Yeah, being the Superman stand-in being named Homelander. If you don't get where that's going, I apologize. And I appreciate the naivete of anyone who is sort of like, well, okay, it's a cool superhero name, but it can't mean anything, possibly. In any case, Anthony Starr's portrayal of Homelander is the best Superman that has ever been put out on screen. The comics, we'll leave the actual comics depiction of Superman aside because that's its own world. But on any screen, a TV, a movie screen, your iPad, your phone, whatever, a film depiction of a Superman, Anthony Starr is number one. He is amazing and great at it. It is brilliant. I cannot recommend The Boys. And Barry's great. Barry is so upsetting and dark, though. You need to be in the right emotional place to watch Barry.
I'm excited for Barry. We were waiting for season 3 to wrap up to do our
deep dive. It's wrapped. Go for it, man. It's just, it gets...
Is it bleaker?
So much! So much! So upsetting and sad. And not really hewed by the bounds of naturalism a lot of the times. If you remember the standalone episode from last year where there was this small child they were trying to hunt down who suddenly started displaying fantastical
abilities. That was an incredible episode.
Yes. Those thematic and stylistic concepts very much get carried into and expanded upon in season 3. And Bill Hader's performance is unreal in this. It's just like, you know, the old trope about if you have a great comedic actor, yeah, they can do serious drama as well. Absolutely. And the converse isn't necessarily true. Like, great, serious, dramatic actors aren't necessarily equipped to do comedy, but a lot of comedic actors, when you put them in a serious situation, can. Is so true with Bill Hader. The work he does, like, in some of this, he's just... It's primal, the stuff he does. He is just a tightly wound ball of pain and trauma, and you get to see that. It is none of which excuses the awful, in the time, sociopathic things he does. But there, it is just a person who has been traumatized to the point where their humanity is starting to slip away, and Hader really just, mwah. Great. Sarah Goldberg, also great. It's a delightful show. But again, if you need something a little more lighthearted and fun, like I said, my comparison for that show is Starship Troopers, which I think is one of the best movies of all time. For you Verhoeven fans out there.
There you go. Andrew, your pick of the week.
Pick of the week. Yeah, I got two, actually.
Okay.
One, real quick, Kenobi. Obi-Wan, fantastic.
I haven't.
The one thing that I like about what the Star Wars franchise is doing under the Disney banner is they are helping tell the stories in between big moments. You know, they're helping give details into big moments, and I think Kenobi does a great job of that. So be on the lookout for that. Actually, I got three things, because at the same time, and they come out on the same day, it's Ms. Marvel.
Oh, is it good?
Absolutely. So Ms. Marvel is definitely geared towards tweens in terms of like a Marvel show.
Yeah.
And it's wholesome, and it's really, really fun to watch. And then three, Chase, I feel like you would be in favor of this. The summer of wrestling that is 2022, you've got two major promotions in a post-COVID era with your biggest stars probably out for the rest of the summer, and the biggest story in wrestling this summer involves Vincent Kennedy McMahon, and that ain't going away.
Oh,
and kids, that ain't going away.
What did he say in the
promo that he did?
Yeah,
nothing.
He didn't say anything. He basically said then, now, together, forever, which is the WWE slogan, and he was like, and that's how it's gonna stay. And basically, that was the "I'm not effing leaving" speech in Wolf of Wall Street. I would venture to say that by September, I don't think he's there.
Wow.
It's hard to say. Like, I don't know how the Board of Governors works. I don't know what the process.
For this and this whole Me Too era and the whole investigation.
He got cheered. He got all that. Like, he was getting bowed to. I don't know, man.
It was so. But the thing is, like, even they tried evening out the boos. And even then, it was just like, bro, you just gotta let that go. Like you gotta, like, whoever's in the production truck just gotta eat that. Like you've gotta eat that one. You can't try and balance it out.
Okay, let's assuming we're all still among the living in this time next year, I will place a bet with Andrew that Vince McMahon is still WWE chairman.
January 19th, 2023.
Yeah.
Okay. What's the bet?
I don't know. Name your terms, man. We'll think of something humiliating. We'll think of something slightly humiliating, but not debilitatingly so.
You gotta wear an embarrassing shirt, or you gotta wear
a shirt. I'll get some awful, like, University of Michigan Go Blue, like, merch that I'll wear.
How's the orange looking? Like, football season's right around the corner, Bob. How's the orange? Have you added anything?
Yeah. The Carrier Dome.
Do you ever see Tennessee stuff in New York when you're moving around? Do you ever see Vol stuff?
Do I ever see Vol's merch?
No, just like people wearing Vol stuff.
No.
But doesn't, like, the Tennessee alumni have a bar in New York?
I'm sure they do.
Okay.
There's a cool Georgia bar that a lot of the Brooklyn Redder types.
Bob.
What?
No one cares about the Georgia bar. No one cares about the Georgia
bar. The only reason I know is because in 2014, I was debating on moving out to New York City with a friend of mine. And he went to KU, and I was, you know, basically, you know, going to move out there with him and, you know, try and find a job, all that. And so we were looking at some of the bars, because the place where he was at was close to... either an LSU or Wisconsin bar.
There's a bar for pretty much every team.
Yeah, and that's what he was saying. He was like, there was, he said, like, there's so many. He's like, there was like a row of bars. It's like an Ohio State bar, a KU bar, all that.
There was, like, there was a bar in the, there was a bar years ago. I don't know if it still is, but that was, that on Sundays transformed into a Cincinnati Bengals bar.
I could see that.
It was a regular East Village type spot, but for some reason, Cincinnati Bengals picked that as their home away from home. I have no idea why, but if you really want to, you know, watch a bunch of, if you wanted to get deep into like Jeff Blake at the time, that was the place to be.
Freaking Jeff Blake.
Yeah.
There you go. My pick of the week, Boy Behind the Door. We watched that last night. Very, very good on Shudder. And it's very much enjoyed that one. That was pretty wild. Movie? Yeah. Highly recommend it. It's a good movie. It's only an hour and a half.
There you go.
But we had a disagreement, the fiance and I, because she did not like it last night. But what she liked was the new Netflix movie that came out that she made me watch two nights ago. The Hemsworth movie.
Oh, how was that?
It's so bad.
It's real. Okay, so I've heard that the acting is really good, but like the storyline is just like kind of all over the place.
It's so over the place. It's so silly. I don't know. I couldn't get into it. I was.
I finally sat down and watched Roadrunner last night, late last night on HBO.
What is that?
It's the Anthony Bourdain documentary.
Oh, how was that?
I mean, I there was a bit of controversy around it at the time because she supposedly digitally recreated some quotes that he never said.
Oh, I thought you were to say digital recreated him. Like,
I was no, like, no, oh, no, I was no, like, what?
No. No, there was some voiceover narration which he had never recorded an audio file of, but was from some things that he'd written. But they used a lot of his writing as the voiceover narration. And in some instances, there were existing audio files, and in a couple of places, those didn't exist, and they wanted to use a specific chunk of text, and so they did a little computer fun and recreated his voice to do those, and that caused some growth. It's really if you're a fan of Anthony Bourdain, it's going to be enjoyable. There's a lot of footage from before he became a TV star, and that's always, you know, that's I enjoyed watching that, and there's a lot of what went into the making of his show and how it happened, blah blah blah. The elephant in the room with the documentary is like there's no way to cover the end of his life in a way that's going to feel like, you could make an entire documentary about why he died, which would be exploitative and horrible, but the material is there, and it didn't really address it, which is understandable because a lot of people didn't want to talk about it, and it also didn't in it, but yet it sort of touched on it in a way that I think left everyone, or at least left me, feeling kind of both unsatisfied and unsettled. I think I think if you wanted to save the documentary, we're just not going to go into that. There's no way to do it, really, I think.
Right.
I don't think you can make a documentary about his life without talking about how he took his life. But there is no way to really talk about, but you can't explore a suicide in a documentary and talk about, and get to some feeling about an answer that feels true about why he took his life. Right. So the end part of it just ends up, you end up ending on the wrong note. I think leaves you feeling like that.
Is it hard to end on a right note in that sense?
No, I don't think you can. I don't think there is a. In thinking about it, I don't think there was a way to. I don't know if there was a way for a documentary to do that that would have felt both that could have worked.
Right.
But they sort of tried to have their cake and eat it too with this, which ended up, I think they needed to make a choice to either just really just be like, look, this is going to be very messed up and we're going to really go into this, or we are going to discuss the part of his life that doesn't include this, neither of which is a perfect choice either, but would have been better than sort of
what they gave you
doing it. Yeah. Than what it ended up being. But it looks, all in all, I think it's a well-made documentary, and I think it does a good job of exploring who he was. Who he was when he was not on TV. And so I think if you're a fan of his, either his, the programs that he made, the books that he wrote, you know, or just him as a person in the world, I think it's worth watching. It's not, speaking of things that are not an easy watch, it's not an easy watch. But it's on HBO if you want to watch it. And you pay for that streaming service, among many.
There you go.
Yeah. On that sad note.
On that sad note, Andrew, do you have anything you'd like to plug for Detroit Free Press this week?
No, but possibly soon.
There you go. I think that's what we call a plug in the biz.
I'm on the possibly soon tip.
Well, you're writing like 93 stories at one time, yeah, Bob. You're a multiple story kind of guy at one time.
I got my hand on a lot of pots. Wheels are spinning. Plates are spinning on sticks. They're all in the air. It's fine.
Can you do that?
The spinning plate thing?
Yeah.
Like Red Panda?
Mm-hmm.
No, that's okay. Very difficult. No. I break plates that aren't on sticks. I don't need to add a degree of difficulty.
Okay. There you go. Bob Silverman at Bob Sayada, Aham, Free Press, all that good stuff. Thank you guys, as always, and I will talk to you both next week. All right, y'all, that'll do it for the Monday, June 20th, 2022 edition here on the Chase Thomas Podcast on the Blue Wire Pod Network. Just one part on today's edition of the program. Should be a jam-packed week for you guys here on the program, so I appreciate you kicking things off in your podcast listening with the Chase Thomas Podcast. So greatly appreciate you guys checking out the pod and making the Chase Thomas Podcast part of your daily listen. New episodes on this very feed just about every day, every week, so always look out for that. Multiple parts each available on this very feed, Apple Podcast, Spotify, or your podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode and you have not already done so, please, please, please make sure that you leave this show a 5-star rating and a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify if that is indeed your podcast player of choice. Check us out on YouTube, youtube.com/ChaseThomas Podcast. Like and subscribe, all that good stuff. Email the program with any mailbag stuff, any questions you have about the show, or just want to get in touch at ChaseThomasPodcast@gmail.com. New episode coming tomorrow, but you guys have yourself a great Monday, and I will talk to y'all tomorrow. Uncle Darren. Nope. Uncle Derek. Let's go.
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.